Good morning, church. God has blessed us with a beautiful day to be together, and it's not something to take for granted at all, that we can be here together in peace, to encourage one another, and to worship the true and living God. It's wonderful to be together. In fact, I look out and see that we have some guests with us today. We're so glad that you're here. Hope you can stick around for a few moments and get to know us. We'd love to get to know you. If you have a Bible there handy, you might open it to Matthew chapter 4 as we look at God's Word together. Titus did a great job in that scripture reading. I'm always moved by this account of Jesus calling those first disciples, of calling Peter and Andrew and James and John, because what he offers to them is to transform them from fishermen to fishers of men. And just as they had gathered fish out of the sea, so he would equip them and use them to gather precious souls out of the darkness of sin and death into the kingdom of the Son, into the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus will transform them as they follow him. And I think that is very exciting. Particularly as you continue reading in the New Testament, you see that, well, they did, and he did. And after Jesus' death upon the cross, he was buried, but on the third day he rose. Upon that resurrection, why, he spent another 40 days with Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and the other apostles, and he was preparing them. So that you come in your Bible to Acts chapter 2 and see that on the day of Pentecost, they were all there when 3,000 souls gladly received their word and were baptized and they were added to the church. They were truly fishers of men. And those apostles taught Christians to do all the things that the Lord had commanded them, like being fishers of men. Why, it only stands to reason that as we follow Christ, we too are transformed, and we are transformed into fishers of men. As we follow Jesus, we are impressed with the blessing as well as the responsibility of fishing for men. And that work must continue. And that work must continue until Jesus comes. We read in the book of Ephesians in the 4th chapter. That's where the Holy Spirit tells us that Jesus gave his church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That is, the saints and all of the church are active in this ministry of fishing for men. And sometimes we don't need new equipment. We don't need a new skill. We don't need a new tool. We don't need a new insight into the work of ministry. What we need to do is to be reminded. What we need to do is to be motivated to go to work. To go out and cast the nets. To go fish. And brethren, that's what we want to do this morning. We've chosen a date to be one of a special emphasis for fishing for men. A special emphasis of evangelistic effort this year. And that date is April 17th. About 30 days from now. On April 17th, as Brother Payne mentioned in the prayer, we're having a Bring a Friend Day. Fishing for men. Let's go fish. And my heart this morning is just to remind us. My heart this morning is just to motivate all of us to be fishers of men. And to impress upon us that April 17th is one day and an immediate way that we can work together to do it. To go fish. Well, what does that look like? If you have the Bible study notes, the interactive outline, we're going to build an acrostic this morning. Paint a picture of what it's going to look like to go fishing for men, to go fish, and particularly on April 17th. Number one, it looks like this, a focus on souls. Number one in your notes, a focus upon souls. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was focused on souls. We learn in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 that his mission was to seek and save the lost. The scripture says in that place, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so there is a need for evangelistic effort. It is so important as part of the church and the local church that we encourage one another to keep on. And we build up and edify one another in the faith. We want to be a healthy church, a healthy body, a healthy life, and a healthy life grows. Jesus' church is about his mission, and that is seeking and saving the lost, fishing for men, seeking and saving the lost. That value, that mission, it grows ever stronger as our love for Jesus grows deeper, as we become more like Him and loving what He loves. Yes, because we love Jesus, we love souls. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, the apostle writes, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." We live for Jesus. We become more like Him. And living for Him means seeking and saving the lost. Because we love Jesus, we love souls. Because we love our neighbors, we love souls. We who know that there are eternal consequences. We who know that there is a heaven to be gained in the joy and presence of the Lord. And we who know that there is a hell to be feared. That there is eternal perdition and judgment upon the ungodly, people who are separated from Christ. And we are not loving our neighbors if we allow them to pass from this life and death without telling them and sharing the gospel. We don't love a neighbor if we don't love their soul. Now, our service on April 17th is going to be designed to introduce and to explain New Testament Christianity to folks, particularly New Testament worship. And Edwin is putting together, I think it's going to be a powerful gospel sermon. We're calling it the beginning of our faith. The truth of Jesus' death and resurrection will be proclaimed upon that day. The significance of His resurrection for us all will be presented. And I think that there's going to be a special poignancy to the message for folks who perhaps are going through a little season of doubt about their faith. Maybe then when walking through the process of deconstructing their faith. Well, we're going to get back to the fundamentals, the resurrection, and constructing faith, building faith from there. It's the beginning of our faith. And we want people to come and see what it's all about. Let's go fish. Let's be mindful of our neighbors and our friends, focused on their souls. What does fishing for men look like? Well, especially on April 17th, it looks like invitations. Making invitations. We're focused on souls, and we're going to invite people. I got an email this week. It must have been on Monday or Tuesday. The subject line in the email was this: why do most people visit a church? That is such clickbait for a preacher. That just killed me. Why do most people visit a church? This is going to be so good. And I clicked on it, and I opened it up, and do you want to know what? It said this, quote, "The answer is simpler than you think. People visit churches because someone has invited them." Ow! I knew that. Didn't you know that? Wouldn't you have guessed that? People come to church because somebody invited them? But I need to be reminded of that. I need to go and do that to make invitations. You know, the book of Revelation ends with this wonderful picture of the bride of Christ making an invitation. The Spirit and the bride in Revelation 22 and verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." The bride's the church. "And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." A simple invitation. Come. And whosoever will, and the water of life is there for you. April 17th, it's a bring a friend day. Very simple. We're inviting folks to come and see. Just some come and see evangelism. It's all about making an invitation. And the power of a simple invitation, it can be incredible. I mean, it's non-confrontational. It's low key. It shows a genuine interest in someone else. "I really like this. I think you might too. This is so helpful to me. I think it would be helpful to you." Invitations are a leading indicator for people who come to a congregation and stay. There's been a body of work done, a body of study on dynamics of churches in America over the last 30 years now and going, and some kind of remarkable things have been discovered. The first is this, that as people in a congregation, as Christians, get active about inviting folks, some things tend to happen. On average, for 30 years and going, on average, for about every 100 invitations to people to come and to worship, it produces about 10 guests. Talk to 100 people, and of those, about 10 people will respond, will come and follow. Of that 10, well, 6 to 7 of those will come once. Okay? By the way, and I should explain this, when you're talking about 100 invitations will produce 10 guests, that doesn't mean that 10 people you talk to out of 100 will come. It might be only one of those people that you talk to will come, but they got a family of 5, so 5 showed up because you talked to somebody. And it may not be that they all come on exactly the day that you want, like April 17th, because that's a bad day for them. But because you plant that seed, because you mentioned that, they may come some Sunday in the next couple 4 to 6 weeks, all right? So this builds a little bit. But you can expect to see, on average, about 6 to 7 will come once, which means that 3 to 4 of those 10 will attend multiple times. They'll come to worship, and they'll come to some Bible classes and all such as this. And then again, on average, out of those 3 to 4, one person will be baptized. Will make the confession, desire to become a Christian and be baptized into Jesus. All this effort about inviting folks and trying to peg a special day for it. We're looking for one. We are looking for one. And we're zealous for that one. And we don't know who they are yet. But we are sure excited to meet them. Now, when I give you those kinds of numbers, what does that sound like to you? For some people, it might sound like, a lot of work. 100 invitations is a lot of top people to talk to. And if 10 people come out of 100, what do those other 90 people do? It's really about attitude. I don't want to say it that way. We need to have a proper attitude towards these facts. Not to be overwhelmed, not to be discouraged in any way of the kind of effort that we're talking about, the kind of effort we're going to do together towards April 17th. But just look at it this way. Would a hunter stop hunting squirrels because the first 10 trees into the woods there wasn't a squirrel in it? Or would he go and look at the next tree? He's looking for the squirrel. Would a young lady stop looking for the perfect dress because she didn't find it in the first store? Or would she say, there's other stores in the mall. Let's go to the next store. See, we will go and hunt. We're talking about fishing for men, even fishermen. Are there really fishermen that are going to cast the line in the first time? They don't get the keeper on that first cast. And they say, I'm done fishing, I'm going home. Don't they make the day of it? Don't they move the boat around? Don't we just keep on fishing? Because we're looking for the squirrel. We're looking for the perfect dress. We're looking for the keeper. That's what we're about. And so we keep on until we have that. What are we looking for? Our evangelistic effort in inviting folks to come and see. We're looking for the people who will come. We're not going to be discouraged about the folks that don't come that day. Our goal is 1,100 invitations for April 17th. Go ahead and write that one down in the blank. 1,100 invitations by April 17th. And Peter's designed that good-looking invitation tracker. We got it up on the back. That is just a lot of fun. Because when you make those invitations, remember in your mind how many you did. And then you color in the boxes. And what we see together is that whole circle filling up. And we're doing it together. It's very, very exciting. We've done this, but it's been a couple of years. And we're getting back to the zeal and the joy of doing that. We get excited when we see that whole circle filling up. And I'll tell you what I like about this goal. It's probably about one invitation for each of us over the next 4 weeks, and we'll get there, actually. It's not that out of reach at all. But I get excited living in the Tampa area with a goal like this of 1,100 invitations, because I remember this. There's well over 400,000 people that live within a 20-minute drive of this church building. We're going to hit our goal, and it's all right around here. It's also kind of good to remember that for the last 2 years, it's been reported again and again in the state of Florida that somewhere between 900 and 1,000 people are moving to the state of Florida every day. That was reported throughout 2020 and throughout 2021, which means there's a lot of new faces. There's a lot of new faces around us. Some of those folks are looking for a church home. They're new to the area, right? Some of those people we haven't talked to before, we haven't bothered them, annoyed them at all, right? New people. Lots of new people around here. That's exciting. And 23% of Americans are religiously unaffiliated. Man, almost one out of four. Almost one out of four. But you know what? You think, well, that means they don't want to go to church. No, no, no. That means they don't have plans on April 17th. They're not going to tell you, I got something that day. Talk to them early. This is opportunity. This is wonderful opportunity. And so, not only do we have the guest tracker up there, but on the back tables, we've got really good-looking invitation cards. Julie teased me. She goes, you got props today. I said, I do. Little business card invitation cards, the mailers, the postcard size. What size do you like? How do you want to invite people? Take a bunch with you. We got a bunch back there on those tables, all right, to make those invitations. Remember who you invited. That's the hard copy stuff we have there for you. Take several with you. And on April 9th, if you're really taking notes, if you're actually writing in the margins of the interactive outline, on April 9th, I'm going to have a door knocking day, okay? Love for you to come out, and that's going to be just about going and making sure we personally meet the people in the streets and neighborhoods closest to the church building here. Would love to have your help with that. We're going fishing for men, and so we got to invite. Number three, what does fishing for men look like? It looks like supplication and prayers. This is the Bible word for requests. And luckily, it starts with an S. We need to ask God and be praying to God about all of our evangelistic efforts. Again, you know these things, but we're reminding, we're motivating, we're going to be about this. We've got a target date, April 17th, and we got a goal, 1,100 invitations. Let's go and do this. We need to be praying about this. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, we are encouraged to be very active in prayer. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, that means requests, asking God of something, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We want to pray. We want to pray for wisdom of men and wisdom for ourselves. And we want to pray. And we want to pray for peace and for God to work in good ways for all those in authority. But did you notice what God wants? God wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We need to pray for that. We believe in prayer. We don't believe that prayer is plan B. We don't believe that prayer is the last resort. Fishing for men is God's work. Seeking and saving the lost is God's work. And so we pray to God about it. And we serve. And we are workers together with Him. Again, I think about the passage in James 5 and verse 16. About how the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. But look around you for a minute. I have the opportunity, you know, I get to stand up here and I get to look at all of you. Bless your hearts, you all have to kind of look this way. Can I tell you what I see? I see a lot more than one righteous person praying about this. I see hundreds of people in Christ in this room praying about this. It means so much. Prayers for wisdom and the words that we use as we invite people on April 17th. prayers for people, those precious friends, those family members who are on our hearts. They're precious souls. We're going to pray for them. Pray for opportunities to invite folks. Many other prayer requests. In fact, if you picked up the program on the way in, you'll find inside of it 30 days of prayer for April 17th. It is a calendar of prayer requests about this. And brothers and sisters, won't you please pray? Why do we put this together on one sheet? So it can be on your refrigerator. So it can be on the bathroom mirror. Wherever you're going to see it every day. So you can have it with you for your devotional time and your prayer time. But boy, these are prayer requests we sat down and we really thought through. And they mean so much. Here's our prayer request. My prayer request. Edwin's prayer request. Won't you pray for these things? Please pray for these things. Let's go fish. We're focusing on souls of our neighbors, our family. Going to invite people and work towards this effort on April 17. Going to pray about it. Make our supplications. Finally, we're going to be hospitable Christians when they arrive. Because I'm believing a lot of people are going to be here on April 17th. My friends and brethren that I love so much, but all of those friends that you're bringing with you. And hopefully I'll be bringing some too. Can I tell you for a moment about expectations of hospitality? What's that word hospitality mean? It means loving strangers. And there's an account in Luke the 7th chapter when it would seem that a fellow named Simon the Pharisee, was going to be all kinds of big and magnanimous and hospitable, and he's inviting Jesus and Jesus' disciples to come over to the house and have dinner with him. Of course, what happens is, in the midst of the dinner and the conversation, there's another lady that comes into that house. She's known in the community as a sinner, probably a woman of ill repute. She spends time at the feet of Jesus, crying, washing his feet. Simon the Pharisee thinks to himself, well, Jesus cannot be a holy man. He can't be so all-knowing because a real righteous man would never let this sinful woman come so near and even to touch his feet. And Jesus, who knows his heart, says this. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Oh, Simon, you're going to be, there's a lot of lessons to make here, but oh, Simon, you are going to be so hospitable. Have me into your home. But the basic courtesies of that culture in that time, you could not show. No greeting, no kiss, no washing the feet, nothing to clean up a little bit, some oil for it. No, none of that. You didn't give me any of that. And look at this woman who loved so much. There was expectations about even basic hospitality in that time. And people are people. We have expectations about kindness and hospitality even today, don't we? And we're going to be working together as a church, inviting people to come and see. Come into this place. So how are we going to make them feel when they come? You've probably been to a congregation, and I know I have. And I hate to say it. But I didn't have to be there very long before I got the feeling that that particular church, I wasn't really welcome in that place. I'm not sure that there was a place for me in that church. Wasn't feeling the love. Wasn't feeling welcomed. And I've been in congregations, and I hope you have too. Well, when I come in, they talk to me like, you've always been a part of the group. We're so glad you're here. They made me feel love. They made me feel welcome. Now, we work really hard to try to give a warm welcome to everybody that comes through the doors. In fact, I want to give a little shout out and just a word of thanks to all the team and the guest evangelism, the men and the women that work so hard greeting people at the front doors and working at the guest center and directing people to all the different Bible classes. There's a lot of people involved with that. It's a great, great thing. Thank you so much. But let us never forget, greeting is a congregational effort. And we don't put that off to a few people out in the foyer. All of us, as God's family in this place, want to do our part to be friendly, welcoming, and hospitable, and particularly to strangers, to people we've not met yet. And this event is an opportunity to help us all get involved with welcoming guests, doing our part. We can welcome guests. We can sit a little bit closer. If you could close your eyes and imagine for just a moment what this auditorium is going to look like with over 500 people in it. It's going to be cozy. We've not been cozy in quite a while. It sure can happen April 17th. So how are we going to be on that day? Well, I suggest three things that you can do, we all can do on that day, to make people feel welcomed. Okay? Number one, you can park in the back and you can sit up front. We got a little bit of guest parking labeled out there with signs, don't we? That's going to be maxed out on April 17th. So where are the rest of the people going to park? We're going to help them out by parking a little further in the back and let our new friends park closer to the doors. And then when we come in here, we're going to move on down and sit up front. So it's easier for them to find seats towards the back. That's something that we can all do on that day. We can practice the arm's length rule, which is where you stop and talk to any guest within arm's length of you. I don't know your face. I need to meet you. I'm not going to ask you to meet me. I'm going to meet you. You're within arm's length. Because I'm a part of this wonderful church family, and I want you to be welcomed here that day. A lot of that, we think about that maybe on the way in, as people come in and find a seat. Number three, what we call the 10-minute rule. How's the 10-minute rule work? We all set our alarms. No, it's not. It's not quite like that. But we do. We wait a little bit of time. Hey, how about 10 minutes on that day? The service is over. We've been trying to meet some new people. A lot of them won't hang around forever. So we spend 10 minutes talking to them, helping them get out the door and all the good things. And then we group up with all of our family and friends. Then we have our kind of, what do you call it, the holy huddles, right? We come together with the friends and brethren and we enjoy the fellowship and the sharing that we love each other so much. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing about Livingston that when people say amen here, people don't all go bolting out the doors, right? We enjoy one another's company, and that's right, and as it should be. But let's take a little extra time before we do that on that day to meet folks, the new folks, and then we'll gather up and have all of that. Three easy things we can do to be greeters, to be hospitable Christians on that day, to meet expectations of a warm welcome in this place. What I'm encouraging us to do, and with the goal of April 17th and 1,100 invitations, is to go fish, to go be fishers of men. Thank you so much for your good attention. If you want to put your notes away, put your Bibles away. Brother McDonald's going to come up here and lead us in one more song. There's not a doubt in my mind that we can work together, accomplish these goals, have a great day on April 17th. I think it's going to be special. And you may look at these things we've talked about and this little fish acrostic and say, well, Andrew, we could do that every week. We could. Got to be reminded. Got to be motivated. Got to pick a date. And that's what we're doing. We've got some guests here today, like I said at the beginning. We really are glad you're here. You might have picked up that on April 17th, we're going to be having a special service and meeting. If you can't be back here before that, I really hope you'll be back on that day. It's going to be a real special day. And there may be someone in here this morning who, in spending time in the Bible study and in the Word, has realized this whole business about fishing for men and the Lord finding them and bringing them in, they're apart from the Lord this morning. And it is the gospel that calls you in, that you can respond as they did on the day of Pentecost. Those 3,000 souls that repented of their sins and were baptized for the remission of sin, to be in Christ, to be added to His church. You can do that this morning. We've got water ready and clothing ready. Everything's ready if someone wants to become a Christian this morning. Giving you all some homework. Take the prayer list with you. Take some invitation cards with you. But if we can help you with a spiritual need to be baptized into Jesus or something else, we invite you to come forward and make it known now so that together we stand and sing. Won't you come?